Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnrepublicbroadcasting.org. It's the high rise of free speech because you can get on the elevator and go up. And that's what it's like. You turn into RBN and you go up and you just get, you can see more from up high. And that's what we are. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send shekels while you still can, because everybody else, I mean, everybody is getting taken down. The Dr. Duke website's down. Andrew Englund is, he's off. Yeah, it's down. It's fallen and it can't get up.
Yeah, well, maybe something we should talk about here is for our people that are interested or potentially interested to get into the technology field. I'm doing that myself.
That's important. We will talk about that.
We need more people like Andrew Torba, say, that create these alt tech apps, you know, and you can't do it for money, because if you're doing it for money, Jews will obviously have leverage on you. So we need to do it to help our people, you know, to help us keep our voice.
That is true. That is very true. Okay. And then also there's a little matter of nationalbugle.com, and you should go there and download the co-certified app, because it's totally awesome. It's not a fiery wreck. It's not flaming. Flames aren't coming out of it. You can actually go there and download the co-certified app and make sure that your fiery barbecue is not kosher certified. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Non-kosher is the way to be.
It's absolutely the way to be.
I saw a while ago, I saw a really funny bumper sticker. I wish I could find it, or I wish I could get one. It had a picture of a pig, and he had an apron and some, like a pair of tongs and like a skewer, some barbecue utensils, and it said something, I forget exactly what it said, but I think it said non-kosher is the way to go or something like that.
Hey. Okay, well, I think pigs, if I was a pig, I'd probably be into kosher, because it wouldn't be me, because I wouldn't be for dinner. So you got that. That's true. All right, so there's a bunch of stuff going on. And we will get into some of that technology stuff, but here's something. I went to my local superstore today, Walmart, and they weren't wearing masks. The employees, for the first time, weren't wearing masks. And I had never seen these people's faces before. And now I've seen their faces. And you know what I think it is?
What?
I think it's the truckers.
Oh, right, okay.
I think the truckers, I think what's happening is the establishment in various countries, Canada, US, Austria, various countries are backing away. Even though the brutal Democrat, Justin Trudeau, was able to get the truckers to move off of the Ambassador Bridge, they're still out there. They're still doing a lot of stuff. And they've proven their point. And Trudeau has had to ramp it up this high. And how much higher do you think he could ramp it up?
I don't know. Good question. They keep doubling down no matter how much or how deep in the water or the weeds that they are, and which is interesting, because I mean, I've asked myself the same question in regards to this experimental gene therapy everybody has got or getting. Say hypothetically, if that starts killing a lot of people in a few years, God forbid, but just hypothetically, if that happened, right, I mean, would they double down on the vaccine, right? Or would they back off? Well, I'm willing to bet that they would double down.
So there you, I mean, so in terms of a brutal crackdown, you've got Trudeau, and he has declared a state of emergency. Now, the state of emergency, it's supposed to be, I mean, what are the conditions for it? It's supposed to be like some sort of like violent demonstrations or something, violent. And the truckers aren't violent. So, first of all, the prerequisite for declaring this state of emergency hasn't been mad. So it's illegal in the first place. But, you know, okay, so he's declared a state of emergency. He's telling tow truck companies that if they don't follow orders and tow these trucks, that they're going to be shut down, that their tow trucks will be requisitioned. They're just going to be, their trucks will just be taken from them and used anyway. How much farther can he go without literally starting to shoot people? I mean, what's left in his arsenal besides federal bullets?
I guess just shy of that, they're going to start arresting people, which, I mean, I guess they already are.
They already are, yeah.
You could imagine Australia times about, you know, 3 or 4, maybe. But then again, that's just a guess. I don't know.
Now
I hope these truckers, they keep calling the bluff. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, they're. I don't. You could say, oh well, they retreated from the Ambassador Bridge, but you know they'd shut that down. They made a point, and they've gotten a lot of results so far. And you could say that this could wind up just being a strategic redeployment. Now, one thing is that there was this, 11 individuals who were arrested because of a cache of weapons, a bunch of weapons. And at this point, I'm not sure whether this was like some sort of Fed Posty group that brought the weapons, or whether it was a plant. Have you heard anything about this?
No. Were they arrested?
So about 11 people were arrested, and you know it's not 100% clear right now. And I think, well, from what I understand, this was near the Ambassador Bridge, and the truckers at the Ambassador Bridge, I think, in order to clarify that they've been peaceful all along, the whole thing was entirely peaceful, that they decided to leave the bridge so that, you know, there could be some closure. Everything was peaceful. And they're going to either redeploy, or maybe they're going to take a little bit of a break because, you know, this is a major sacrifice for them to be out there in the cold, not working, be out in the cold for, I guess it was about 2 weeks. But they're still there. They still have their trucks, which are mobile barricades that they can live in. So I don't see this as really being that much of a backing down. Now, I understand that in British Columbia, or at least in Vancouver, but I assume it's a British Columbia thing, they've taken off some restrictions, right? So they've taken off restrictions for, social distancing, how many people can gather in one place. They've tried to make a show of easing off on restrictions. At the same time, I think they still are having the kids suffocated, and I don't think they backed off of the vaccine mandates. At least, you know, and one thing is, no matter what happens, the people who've already had the vaccines, those vaccines aren't going to be extracted from their bodies. They stay there, right?
Yeah, right. You can't, from what I understand, you can't detox from these because they're not the traditional mercury substrate. I don't know. I'm not an expert. I'm not trying to give medical advice by any means, but these are different, you know, from what everybody has been speaking of.
Now, from what it seems, most people who have had the vaccines aren't dying yet, and probably, you know, hopefully, I mean, I don't wish anybody ill. Hopefully most of them won't have adverse effects, but obviously a lot of people are, and a lot of people are dying. It's hard to know how many. And, you know, when you think about it, so Trudeau is insisting everybody get vaccines, and if they're not getting the vaccines, then they're being severely punished. How many people has he killed? You know, like, really, how much worse is this than Tiananmen Square, for instance?
Yeah, well, good point. It's way worse, but it's just not, well, it's not given the media attention, of course. I think we all know why. But not the truckers. The truckers have. I mean, you're talking about, in general, the lockdowns. And, well, they've been given media attention, but like you guys were discussing this morning on Stormfront, likely what will happen is they'll come out and claim victory, that everybody, we can end the lockdowns, despite everybody that was a COVID skeptic.
Yeah, the vaccine skeptics, the anti-vaxxers, they're the real villains, but the heroes who took one for the team, thanks to them, we can declare victory for now, but we'll have to be vigilant, and we might have to just reinstate all of these restrictions at any moment.
Right.
I don't know. Is that going to fly?
We'll see. At first I thought it was, but boy, in Canada, you know, after that, I'm starting to have second thoughts.
You know, there's copycats. There's copycats in Europe. There may be copycats here. The truckers proved to be extremely effective. The trucks are barricades, mobile barricades that the truckers can live in. I mean, that's way better than street demonstrations. And, you know, the truckers are necessary. And if the truckers are, you know, they can strike plus barricade. Wow, that's a lot of power that they've got, and I'm glad that they figured that out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Canada, mm-hmm. All places.
Well, then the other thing is, like, even if we don't know the relative proportions of these two groups, okay, you got the one group of people who took the vaccines, wore the masks, and aren't going to want to admit that they were wrong. Although some of them, like, you know, you hear about this case of a woman whose husband got the vax in November and immediately got sick and died. And, you know, and so they have been true believers, but of course, and, you know, the husband's not around to not believe anymore, but she, you know, it changed her mind. A lot of people are going to have their minds changed because of adverse reactions, but not everybody's going to have adverse reactions. And a lot of people, it's really hard to admit you've been wrong about something, especially something that's been such a big deal for such a long time. On the other hand, like the people who have been against it, how pissed off are they going to be?
About the continuance of lockdowns, or what do you mean?
Or, you know, about all sorts of things. So about even if there's a easing of restrictions, that they're still going to be blamed. They're still going to be called horrible people, and they were racists. And, you know, and just having lived through this and seeing all of the hypocrisy and double standards, the easiest of which to identify is the whole Black Lives Matter. They go around, they burn, and you got reporters standing in front of a burning building saying, "Fiery but peaceful, fiery but
yeah.
peaceful."
Yeah, that was right? Definitely a complete mask off moment, pun intended.
Right, and then truckers for instance, because it's not just the truckers, but truckers just parking their cars, you know, blocking traffic. Yeah, but the riots block traffic too, without looting anything, without beating anybody up, without breaking any windows. And there's a, you know, a state of emergency declared, and there, you know, there, in some cases, properties being seized, donations to them were seized, whereas the donations to Black Lives Matter were encouraged. And, you know, Black Lives Matter got tens of millions of dollars, probably hundreds of millions from corporate donors. I think there's like $60 million in their bank accounts now. And obviously they've spent a lot on, you know, like, I would say hookers and crack, but I think the people who are in charge are lesbians. And so I don't know what they're spending it on. But I guess they're spending it on houses.
Yeah. Got to live next to your oppressor. Let's go be oppressed in those white neighborhoods.
And you've had the fake election. And so, you know, is there any way you could ever go back to 2019? I mean, not that 2019 was so great. 2019, we're already pretty divided. You had all that unprecedented attack on Donald Trump. But even going, and, you know, he was being impeached over a hoax. You already had that, but we can't even get back to 2019. Can we even live in the same country?
No, I think in general, I think what will happen is secession will become more and more popular amongst regular people. That's what appears to be happening already.
It's really something. Now here's something else. All right. Now obviously part of the saber rattling against Russia and China, part of it, a lot of people say it's a distraction. I think that's probably part has something to do with it. Get people to rally around the flag. But to what extent would your army vet or your boomer or other people who have a tendency towards knee-jerk patriotism, right? To what extent can they look around and say, well, okay, about half of the country, these are people who are, you know, relatively recent immigrants, like post-65 people, who have been taught for the most part to have racial grievances against whites. And then when you add in the blacks, you get like basically half the country that belong to groups that to a very large extent are, you know, racially motivated to have grievances against whites.
Yes.
Are you going to want to rally around that flag? I mean, will people want to rally around the flag when the flag is increasingly like either a gay flag or a Black Lives Matter flag? Because we do fly those flags in front of our embassies.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, look at every, speaking of that, if you look at every, there was a meme that came out, and you may know exactly what I'm talking about, that had every, there's about 200 logos of like, say, Fortune 500 companies, and every single logo had some sort of rainbow, you know, insignia incorporated into the logo. So not only is it our governments that are doing this crap, it's these Fortune 500 companies, which to me, I don't know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but that largely signals that it's probably coming from intelligence services. If you're talking about Wall Street and the government hopping on the same bandwagon all at once, I think that's what's happening. I don't know. Am I wrong?
I don't know. Maybe, I mean, intelligence services, that's one candidate. But, you know, you've got like the ADL and the SPLU, like these censorship organizations. You've got like these Jewish groups that push things. But also, and this is something that,
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right, well, I got my bear spray. We got bears out here.
Okay. All right, so as I was saying, these investors, in particular BlackRock, which is the biggest, they've always been passive. They have... So much of their assets that they have under management are through these exchange-traded funds where they set up something like a S&P 500 fund. And they set up the fund so that it's going to mirror the S&P 500, which is an index. And
right.
So if it's got the 500 companies in it, they've got to have those 500 companies, and they've got to have them in the right proportions so that the value of their fund goes up and down with the value of the index. So it really doesn't give them a lot of leeway in dumping shares, right? I mean, if you're going to dump shares, then your fund's not going to be balanced, and it's not going to move the right way. So they've been very passive traditionally, and these types of index funds, whether it's mutual funds or whether it's exchange-traded funds, they've been around for a long time. I think Vanguard started it, but at any rate, they've been around for a long time, and they've been very passive. But recently, like within the past year or so, they're starting to get more active. And BlackRock in particular, which is run by Jews, and it's got some guy, something Fink. I forgot his first name, but his last name's Fink.
Larry Fink.
Larry Fink, yep. Yeah. Now they're suddenly, and this is pretty new, they're, and you know, because they own, like, BlackRock might have, like, you know, 4% or so shareholding of all the major companies. It doesn't have huge shareholdings. It's not enough to get a director on board. But if they have 4% and Vanguard has 3% and State Street has 2.5%, and they start, you know, working as a block, then they start having some leverage, and they're starting to say, we want more minorities, we want more diversity on boards. And you know what they do is they get, this is a way that they can dilute, what, because there's still a lot of companies that have white management, and this is how they get, you know, they get, push whites out. And then of course, if they can get Jews in, Jews, it tends to be like a ratcheting effect, because once you get one Jew in, they're going to start lobbying to get more Jews in.
Right.
And you get this ratcheting effect.
Yeah.
So that's going on. And of course, you know, then they're going to, I mean, still, when I look at the, because I have some shares and things, and when you have shares, you get sent ballots for general shareholder meetings. You see, what are the issues they're voting on? And still, the boards of companies, they are still resisting things like having to issue equity reports and stuff like that. They're still resisting this. But what you're finding is not the boards, but the shareholders, which could be the Larry Fink types. The shareholders are introducing these motions to have equity reports and equity quotas and things like that. The incumbent boards are recommending that those are voted down. But anyway, you're seeing this trend, and so you got that going on. What got us onto that whole kick?
Oh, I was talking about how the Fortune 500 companies have all pitched in and hopped on the same bandwagon with the government and with the LGBTQ and the queerness of the logo, everything, I think.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, one thing that reminds me of is another thing you're starting to see nowadays is something called sovereign wealth funds. And basically what that is a, on behalf of, you know, a country's taxpayer, a country, a government represents, you know, investment. So, and there's been a lot of criticism with those. One of the first ones that I saw was in Singapore. We don't have them here yet. I think they're starting to creep their way into Europe. China has them. And the criticism of those is that, well, you can pretty much have unlimited losses, you know, since the taxpayer is subsidizing all the losses, you know. So it's really not, it's not free market, I guess you could say. I don't know if you want to speak on that at all.
I haven't gone too deep into the sovereign wealth funds, but the sovereign wealth, these are assets owned by governments. That's my understanding. And I think they have their origin in these third world OPEC countries, because they, you know, these countries like around the Persian Gulf, but also, you know, Gabon in Africa, or, you know, Indonesia, Malaysia. Indonesia, not so much anymore, but once upon a time they had a lot of oil wealth, and they didn't have, you know, the financial sophistication necessarily to manage it themselves. So you had these sovereign wealth, you know, the sovereign means, you know, the country is the owner is a sovereign state.
Right.
And so you had these, and I think that's what we're talking about.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Right.
And so you had these, and I think that's what we're talking about. Well.
Yes. Well, what a beautiful day, isn't it?
It is a beautiful day, and it was nice. It was nice to actually see the faces of the Walmart employees. Now I don't know. I mean, I guess like Walmart is the biggest. It's the biggest employer in the United States, right? Isn't it?
Yes. They were for a long time the biggest private employer, right? As far as I know, they still are.
Right, and it also seems to me that not only do they employ a lot of old people, but they employ a lot of like damaged people. You know, people who have maybe they're mentally retarded, maybe they've got, you know, psychological issues. An awful lot of them are extremely obese, but of course, a lot of the people in general are extremely obese. You just seem to, you know, or they're cripples of some sort, or you know, maybe former drug addicts. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. You know, these people need to be able to work. But one thing that's kind of sad though is that there's just so many of those people in this country.
Yes, I agree. So yeah, I don't think it's that hard to get a job at Walmart. Me myself, I'm lucky. I've never had to work at Walmart, but I do agree. I mean, it's. We need jobs like that. So as one movie quote said, the world needs ditch diggers too.
It It needs ditch diggers. Well, yeah, a certain amount of ditch diggers. But, you know, this is...
A place for everything, a place for everyone.
Now, of course, the for a given country, what you can expect from that country in general is, in terms of its economic success, standard of living, all sorts of things, is going to be dependent on its distribution of skills, you know, it's human capital. And if you have countries, you know, a country like Nigeria or Ghana, where you have, you know, you're going to have some smart people in Nigeria or Ghana, but proportionally, the proportion of people who would be able to do computer programming or who would be able to do accounting or, you know, things that take a certain amount of intellectual ability, the proportion of your labor pool that can do that is going to be a lot smaller than in East Asia, for instance, or in Europe, for instance. And the proportion that could function as, you know, doing more manual labor is going to be, but not more skilled labor, is going to be higher. And so, you know, what can you expect? What kind of economy can you expect in those countries compared to countries with more, not just more skilled labor, but more talented labor, I guess you could say.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, they need their place too. If it weren't for all the aid being sent to those places like that, you know, I mean, obviously, never speak to themselves. They would quickly fall in order with nature. Like, we certainly don't have that now with all the aid that's especially given to Africa. So,
all right. Well, we're on the topic of you know, technology and whatnot. We, not as a country, but we as a movement, we need a lot of computer services and technological services. So what kind of advice would you give to some of our listeners, especially younger listeners who are looking for something to do with their career?
I would recommend, well, getting into the IT field. And there's beginners. There's lots of beginner's courses. One that people may do called A plus. This is like the grade you would get in school, called A plus certification, and it's done by an organization. Believe it or not rife with Jews. So I would recommend people look into doing that. Look up A plus by CompTIA, and there's a guy named Professor Messer. He's on YouTube. He offers a complete course, about 200 videos. They range from anywhere from about 3 minutes to, you know, maybe 20 minutes in length. But he's got several videos, and I think he teaches in a very good format, and it's helped me out for sure. I would recommend starting with fundamentals, essentially.
Okay. So, you know, one thing is, nowadays, if we're in such a high information society. When I was a kid, it was very low information, and there's stuff that you could learn by going to the library and finding books, but that required a physical trip, which maybe you'd say, okay, well, when can I fit that into my schedule? Maybe I'll go, you know, I got a question about something. Maybe I'll go next Thursday and find the answer to it. And of course, now you got a question about something, and you just take out your cell phone, you look it up, and in many cases, you have your answer within minutes. There's a great deal of possibility, and it used to be there were a lot of things that, for instance, if you wanted to learn computer programming, I guess you could teach yourself. You could go down and get books and study for, you know, programming, but there's a lot of stuff that really you needed to go to school for, and now there's a lot of stuff that you, once upon a time you needed to go to school for it, and now you don't. There's so much that is available. And so we really do have a need for, you know, IT. We have a need for the next Andrew Torba. You know, people say, oh, well, you know, it's a Facebook's a private company. If you don't like it, just make your own, which is kind of preposterous. But at the same time, we do need to start making our own stuff.
I would say so. People should learn Linux. Linux is an operating system. It's what all of your phones operate on, including Android and Apple. iOS is basically a small layer over a Linux operating system. And I'm maybe getting into the weeds here, into IT. But Linux is open source, so it's free. You know, if you're curious about binary language in Python or whatever kind of programming language you're into, Linux is open source, so you can completely run through and make your own app. You can make your own. I learned how to make a website on Linux myself. So there's lots of things you can do with Linux. And it was invented by a white European guy from Finland named Linus Torvalds.
It's Linus. That was his first name. And it is an open source version of the Unix operating system, right?
Correct. Yeah.
And actually, I do venture into Linux from time to time. I have broken out, for the past 10 years, I've mostly used Windows stuff, but I've broken out my, I say 10 years, maybe it's not that long, but I've broken out my Linux computer again. And there's a code, right? And when I started doing computers, I was using a Unix computer and I was typing in, I was writing little programs and scripts. And, you'd write on a text editor or a line editor. You just write line by line. And
it's still like that. It's still that way.
Yeah, that's good. And, it's not for everybody. But and I've never been a professional programmer. It's never been my profession. But I have used it on the job a lot. And I've written a lot of programs that made me a lot more efficient. So I definitely recommend that, and I'm glad to hear that. I know that the programs I wrote in Pascal, like Pascal, is pretty much a dead language, I would assume. But I'm glad to hear that Linux is still not just worthwhile, but it is still essential, right?
Oh yes. Over 90% of the world's web servers run on Linux. So I mean, it's essential if you're going to be in any kind of web development or app development. Since I just mentioned that everybody's phone runs on Linux. So web development, app development, even pen testing, penetration testing, which is a fancy word for hacking. If you're going to do any of those things, Linux is the way to go. You can do online learning as well. That's what I'm doing myself, learning at my own pace, and it's great.
Now, when you look at websites today, and it's not as if all IT is websites, and I like to start learning more about phone apps. That's something I just never got into. But if you look at websites today, so many websites have a content management system, right? CMS. And I guess the biggest one is WordPress, but there are some others. And I always found these, like, David Duke's site, for instance, Andrew Anglin's site. They use these content management systems, and they're designed to be idiot-proof. But the thing is, I'm not an idiot, and a lot of our listeners aren't idiots. And I just find the content, like something like WordPress, to be really, really constraining. You know, if you want to do something a little bit different from the way they've laid it out, from the way they've planned it for you, good luck. Whereas if you can just write code yourself, if you're just doing HTML or cascading style sheets or other things, and you understand that, it gives you so much more flexibility. Now, it takes more doing to get to what you want, but the thing is, like with a content management system, you've already got something like set up for you, but you have very little flexibility with it. And then also, like to post an article on WordPress, you've got to go through and you got to scroll down and click this box and click that box. And, you know, everything is very, it's all using your mouse and clicks. And the thing about if you're doing, if you know some programming and you're trying to do the same type of update every day, you can just write a script that's going to do basically everything for you. Do it the way you want, not the way somebody that you've never met laid things out. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you're right. So, and I'm glad you said that because I was going to mention that. There's a big difference between scripting and coding. A lot of people may be intimidated by the word coding. And to be frank, I still kind of am. I don't know what language to start on. I've started on Python, but at any rate, it's a lot easier. And it's, I guess you could say, the precursor to coding, at least in my understanding it is. So, yeah, that's something to look into also.
Well, indeed it is. All right, now, while we're on the topic, and while it's also newsworthy right now, because they're like David Duke's site, it's some sort of massive attack by an entity with a lot of resources. It's an attack on his site. If let's just say, you know, you're somebody and you know how to write HTML and you know Perl, you know some other things, PHP, but and you've got like a Linux server and you're good with all that. How do you keep it secure? How do you prevent
the modern
from hacking?
Day,
how's that?
So when you're attacking a web server, a lot of times you just overload it with traffic. And mm-hmm. a way to prevent that is to have all your traffic rerouted through the cloud, which means basically on the internet, on a digital server rather than a physical rack. So it's basically software. I'm not sure how he has the there's two or three main companies offer cloud protection. Amazon, AWS.
We're having a little bit of trouble hearing you. Are you able to maybe speak a little bit more into the phone, do something so we can make sure we hear you?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think that's gonna be better. We have about another 5 minutes or so.
Okay. Yeah, I'm walking deep through the woods right now in the beautiful Ozarks. So trying to walk up the hill a little way so you can hear me a little better. But yeah, so as I was saying, cloud protection is the best way to fight DDoS attacks. And the problem people are facing now is these large cloud providers refuse to host websites such as Dr. Duke because it goes against their worldview. Mm-hmm. And so that's a very good point. It's a segue that we need a fancy goy to start a cloud system or a cloud service that will be freedom of speech based. How about that idea?
Okay. Well, so that's something that maybe some entrepreneur can start. Now, how about, is there anything that like people, because a lot of people do run their, I mean, it's going to be the rare person who's going to be able to be an entrepreneur and start a new, you know, cloud protection service. But there's a lot of people out there now who run their own websites. And are there any like lower tech strategies for them where maybe they have their sites mirrored or something that they can do in case they suddenly get attacked? They've got a, you know, some sort of .com website and it comes under DDoS attack, or there is suspect it might come under DDoS attack. What type of thing can they do to prepare for that?
So that's kind of an expert question. There's probably a lot of things you can do. As far as I know, one thing I would recommend is for people to learn about Tor, which TOR stands for the Onion Router.
Uh-huh.
It's a free service as well. It's somewhat similar to Linux. It's a network and a browser. Briefly, I'll try to explain it. One can operate on that for free. HTML, like you said. You can take the HTML of a website and put it on the Onion router, and I mean, I guess that's one way to have it on a different domain name.
Okay. Okay, so that and that actually is something that Andrew Anglin's done as a backup, and
I've done that with your website as well. Your website is up on the Tor network.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Well, you'll have to resend me the link to that, the URL, the Onion URL, so I can. There's something I want to check out there.
Okay.
Well, that's all good stuff. Okay, so we're coming up towards the end of the show. I have a question. What Filbert Applebag song would be appropriate to play?
The one that got the Keith Richards lawyer attention. Or
have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
What Filbert Applebag song would be appropriate to play?
The one that got the Keith Richards lawyer's attention, or his name is Alan Klein, the Jew. Actually, it wasn't him. It was his estate, Alan Klein. He croaked in 2008, so he's smoking a turd in hell. No, I don't know. Bad joke. But anyway, I think you should play our vaccination song.
Okay. Well, without further ado, I won't get no vaccination.
Oh, try and they try. I won't get no. I won't get no. When I'm driving in my car and NPR comes on the radio and they're warning me more and more about some dangerous disinformation supposed to fire my indignation. I won't get no. No, no, no. Hey, hey, hey. That's what I say. I won't get no vaccination. I won't get no vaccination. No, they try. And they try, and they try, and they try. I won't get no. I won't get no. When I'm watching my TV and the Jew comes on and tells me how evil fellow whites can be, but he can't be a white 'cause he doesn't have the same size nose as me. I won't get no. No, no, no. Hey, hey, hey. That's what I say. I won't get no vaccination. I don't want no adverse reaction. Though they try. And they try, and they try, and they try. I won't get no. I won't get no. When they're locking down around the world, and I'm banned from this and deplatformed from that, and I'm trying to get to a new country that tells me, man, you gotta quarantine for 2 or 3 weeks, and you got to give up your freedom. I won't get no. No, no, no. Hey, hey, hey. That's what I say. I won't get no. I won't get no. I won't get no. Vaccination. No vaccination. No vaccination. No vaccination. I won't get no vaccination.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.